some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first married a woman and died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and so all the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, "Those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Now, he is God, not of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all of them are alive." I was immersed into this life of faith that we share on December 10th, 1950, the day of my baptism. On that day, God promised me resurrection. Now, I don't remember it. I was only 12 days old. But the promise of resurrection was true that day. And it's just as true today. This life of faith that we share is a journey. And all these years later, I stand before you telling you again about the promise of resurrection that comes with this life of faith, the life of faith we share, and how it affects our daily living. Now, I have to admit that as a pastor, I have a few pet peeves about this life of faith. Some of my pet peeves are because of the way I think, maybe differently than others. Last night I turned to Joe and said, "Do I think differently than others?" "Oh, yes." And I said, "Some of my pet peeves are because I'm just a little bit quirky at times." And I asked Joe, "Am I a little bit quirky?" And again, she said yes, and everybody there seemed to agree, and maybe you do as well. But there's one religious pet peeve that always gets to me. It's when someone describes heaven, eternity, the afterlife, as if they absolutely, totally and completely understand it. And because of this, I can't believe that a human being can enter actual heaven and come back to tell about it. I told you this story before. A Sunday school teacher asked what you have to do to get to heaven, and one child answered, "You have to die." That's the true answer. And really and completely die. And then there is heaven. When you come back, you didn't die. But I do believe with all my heart that you can taste eternity in this life. I believe that we can experience resurrection in this life, but not completely. My absolute favorite description of Holy Communion is from a song that we sometimes sing in our liturgy. We'll sing it today. Holy Communion is a foretaste of the feast to come. I love that phrase. Yes, we can taste eternity in this life. We can taste the joy of the resurrection. Now, in the past year, I've mentioned several times that the Gospel of Luke is structured around Jesus traveling to Jerusalem. Luke said it outright. Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. In today's reading, he's almost there. He's on the verge of Palm Sunday when he rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. He's on the verge of Good Friday, the day he died. He's on the verge of Easter Sunday, where the promise of resurrection is fulfilled. Jesus is very close when he has this conversation with the Sadducees. He's very close to his own resurrection. And it's in this context that the Sadducees, they just don't believe in resurrection. They test Jesus. And their test is extreme. I mean, they didn't need to have a widow with seven husbands. One remarriage would have brought the question out just fine. And as you may know, exaggeration is a common way to argue. Again, last night I asked Jo, do you know anything about that? Do I exaggerate? And she went, just a little bit. And that reminds me of another argument that comes out of the Middle Ages. The argument that asks the question, can God create a stone so heavy that even God can't lift it? This is used as an argument that God doesn't exist. And the argument of the Pharisees today is used as an argument that the resurrection can't exist. And so they come up with this exaggerated, absurd question. Now, Jesus wasn't interested in arguing, but he was willing to teach. He was willing to have a spiritual conversation. And as a pastor, I've had many conversations, and I mean many conversations about eternity and heaven. And as I said last week, the meaning of life. And during such conversations, I've often said, and some of you may have even heard me say this, because of the enormity of what we're talking about, I say the statement, we're talking about God. In other words, our minds cannot completely grasp God. Our minds, our human minds, cannot completely grasp or fully understand the infinite, the all-holy, almighty God, or heaven or resurrection. We cannot grasp it with our human minds. Although we can know a lot, but whatever we come to know about God or the resurrection or heaven or the meaning of life, we always fall short because we're human. When Jesus responded to the Sadducees, he simply talked about God. The key to the response that Jesus made was two phrases. Those who belong to this age was one. And the other, he said, those who have a place in that age and the resurrection. Jesus was teaching that there's a substantial difference, a major, huge difference between this age, the age we live in, and that age, eternity. This age, Jesus is teaching, has death. That age is all life. Resurrection is about God. We're talking about God. We're talking about the God of the living. Now, one of the most fundamental promises about the resurrection, about eternal life, about heaven, is that there will be eternal joy. Our faith teaches us that there's no sadness in heaven. Heaven is not a place for tears. Any questions, whether they be exaggerated questions about marriage and remarriage, or a rock that God can't lift, or wondering what heaven is really like, or speculating, we need to be reminded we're talking about God. Now, there's a lot of sadness in this life that we live on earth. There's a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. There's a lot of distress. There's a lot of worry. Truth is, these things have no place in heaven. They're not there. God has promised us a resurrection where there's no sadness, only joy. There's no sin in heaven. There's no need for forgiveness in heaven. Rejoice. All of our loved ones in heaven are alive in God. That's what Jesus is saying. They are alive in God. All of our loved ones who have gone before us are living in eternal joy. Rejoice in that. I love the ancient saying that we are Easter people and Alleluia is our song. We believe in the promise of the resurrection. We're Easter people. We believe in eternal joy. We're Easter people. Alleluia is our song. And as Easter people, we're blessed to experience foretastes of eternal joy here at worship and in our daily lives. For those immersed into this life of faith, Jesus gives us countless opportunities to experience foretastes of the feast to come. As Easter people, we forgive. And when we forgive, and when we're forgiven, we taste eternity. As Easter people, we're kind. And when we're kind to others, and when others are kind to us, we taste eternity. As Easter people, we serve the poor, the needy, the hurting, the grieving. And when we so serve, we're serving the Lord. We're serving God. And when we do so, we taste eternity. So we live by faith, we forgive, we're kind, and we serve. We love one another. We pray for one another. This is the life of faith that we're immersed in every day. So we taste eternity in this life. We taste heaven in this life. We taste heaven's joy and heaven's peace, heaven's shalom in this life. And this can only happen because we're talking about God. Let us pray. Gather into your mind all your personal hurts, pain, suffering. relationship struggles, things of this life that cause distress or worry. And now consider all of these for all of us, that we all have such moments, such struggles, and such sufferings. And even consider all of this for the whole world. Gather all of these thoughts together. And it's a lot. It's overwhelming. But not for God. God is with God's children in all of these things. God gives a foretaste of eternal life in all of these moments. So listen to the voice of God. My love for you is here now, and my love for you is everlasting. My love for you is here now, and my love for you is everlasting. God is speaking to us, all those we love, and the whole world. God is saying, my love for you is here now, and my love for you is everlasting.